Your Steve Jones Show podcast is loading now. The Steve Jones Show podcast is sponsored by Sunbury Motors, North 4th Street in Sunbury, and Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. Sports talk where your voice counts. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now, from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. And online sales now available at Sunbury Motors. Check it out. And the service department open Monday through Friday, 7 a.m. to 4 p.m. Sal Palantonio in a few moments. First, the play-by-play call of the day. It looks like Tampa Bay has itself a new quarterback and a new tight end.
Brady goes to Gronkowski. Gronkowski had been in the hospital. Look at that. Exclamation point.
Wow.
Yeah, you might be seeing some of that down south. All right. I've been waiting for this all week. I'm going to tell you, the camera operator did a great job, by the way, in the home studio. Sal, welcome back. Great to have you with us.
I'll tell you said that.
A tremendous job. what I love about the show, as you know, is that I always say this about analysts. And so, obviously, I work with two great ones. You know Dick Girardi, obviously. And obviously, you know Jack Ham. To me, a great analyst is that when the game's over, you feel like you've learned more about the game. Your show with Matt and with Greg, when the show's over, I know more. So that I just want to let you know that out of the gate. So thanks so much. Thanks so much for that.
You know, we put a lot of work into those shows. And the two things we try to accomplish, Steve, in all seriousness, is don't be like everybody else. That's the most important thing, because there's just a lot of copycats out there doing the same thing. And the other thing is that it's very important around draft time to be cognizant of what NFL teams are doing. How are they winning football games? How are they competing against one another? What are the matchups? What works in those matchups and what doesn't work? That's so important in today's National Football League, because there's so much information out there and there's so many analytics and different coaching styles. But the bottom line is what doesn't work and what works. And right now what's working in the National Football League, and I said this, I think, to you a couple of weeks ago, yes. I said the number one reason that I thought the Kansas City Chiefs finally won the Super Bowl, Andy Reid finally got a Super Bowl title, was Rob Gronkowski retired. Rob Gronkowski retired, Tom Brady had to lead the league in intentional grounding. He didn't have somebody open in the middle of the field. What has worked for in Brady's entire career, the time he's been with Josh McDaniels at least, is he's had Edelman and Gronkowski to open up the field between the hash marks and dictate the movement of linebackers and safeties through option routes. That has allowed him to get the ball out of his hands quickly. That has allowed him to have longevity, because he's not getting hit. You take Gronk out of the mix, and that's a huge target he's missing, a guy he's got tremendous chemistry with, and that changed the aperture of that football team and why he led the league in intentional grounding last year. He couldn't get rid of the ball fast enough. He didn't want to get hit, and nobody was open. And so I'm not surprised that Gronkowski is joining him in Tampa at all.
No, I'm not either, and you're absolutely right, because Gronkowski had been that mode of survival before that allowed yards and big plays to happen. No Gronkowski, the mode of survival was then to ground it. So this is the one thing that stuck out to me on Monday's show. Talking about Isaiah Simmons of Clemson. You're talking about three-level defenders. And what I found interesting was how the three of you related it to the Super Bowl, because the 49ers don't have that kind of guy, and it showed, because they don't have that kind of guy, they couldn't adjust to Kansas City. Fair?
Yeah, that was the comment that I made on the back end of that analysis by Matt Bowen and Greg Cosell, that what I heard from coaches and scouts in the offseason during the combine was this. When you studied the film, they said, Sal, go back and look at the second half. The Niners were static defensively while the Chiefs adjusted constantly. They couldn't handle two things. Patrick Mahomes' dual threat and the speed of the Kansas City Chiefs to get beyond the third level of the defense.
Yep.
So, and when you're static defensively these days, you're sunk.
Yeah. It's simple as that. And there's another part. You spent a lot of time on edge rushers, obviously, but also press coverage. And it's interesting because two guys you talked about edge rushers, there's obviously Chase Young would be one. But you spent a lot of time on Okuda, which I thought was tremendous, because Okuda in press coverage is what the NFL, that's the kind of guy that NFL guys are looking at, Sal.
And the reason is simple. Because the passing game has been shortened, the ball is out quickly. Brady has been the key guy in blazing the trail on that issue, blazing the trail on that kind of approach offensively with Josh McDaniels. He has led the league or been in the top two or three among quarterbacks in snap to release, time from snap to release. He wants to be in the 2.1 to 2.3 second range. So the only way he can accomplish that is if the ball's out of his hands quickly. That means he's got to have a short passing game, option routes. The natural antidote to that is what? Press coverage. The whole world is playing single high safety with press coverage on the line of scrimmage. If you don't have press coverage corners, you can't compete in the current NFL.
And the other part about being able to compete, and this is where you talk with GMs a lot, talk with coaches a lot, is that when you're drafting or when you're signing free agents, you mentioned last night, the three of you, look, the skill sets have to match what you're trying to do. Not everybody's trying to do the same thing. There's a lot of copycats, but they have to match what you're trying to do, and sometimes you talk yourself out of something like that.
And what won last year in the NFL? Dual threat quarterback.
Yep.
Patrick Mahomes, Lamar Jackson, Deshaun Watson, and speed. Steve, it was speed. Speed connected with dual threat. If you got speed and the quarterback can hold the ball a little bit longer or create another beat or two with his legs, avoiding the rush, and a guy can get deep for the speed, that's all you need. And we saw it in the second half of the Super Bowl. That pass from Patrick Mahomes the second to Tyreek Hill was the ball game.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly right. I also like when you were running through the receivers, you slipped in Antonio Gibson of Memphis. And obviously, I did his last game, which was the Cotton Bowl against Penn State. And he said, yeah, some people think he might be a running back, some sort of wide receiver. And all of you were saying, no, wide out. And I'll tell you right now, after watching him, not just in person, but I had to watch tape going into the game, you guys are spot on. He's a wide receiver. And that's a big wide out with some speed.
Oh, yeah, it is. And, boy, the Eagles have blown wide receivers. And I'm very, very skeptical that they'll be able to pick the right one. For them to pass on McLaurin and Metcalf and pick J.J. Arcega-Whiteside is beyond me.
Yeah.
You know, all you got to do, you got to look at some guys. Sometimes you can just tell by a bio. J.J. Arcega-Whiteside's favorite athlete is a soccer player from Spain.
Yeah.
I'm sorry.
That doesn't work for me.
Are we playing soccer?
It's exactly. I'm with you completely on that.
I don't mean that to be, funny or to put down the game of soccer, but we're playing tackle football in America for pay on Sunday afternoons. You might want to really emulate Jerry Rice if you went to Stanford and you grew up in the Bay Area. That'd be a good one to have your favorite athlete.
Yeah. Yeah.
If you want to play football in the NFL.
Yeah. Exactly. And last time I checked, the Bay Area had one of the greatest ever, if not the greatest ever. You had a conversation with somebody within the Ravens organization, and we know, Sal, that obviously their style of game does involve a lot of the running game, that they felt that there were 7 to 8 running backs that they thought were legitimate within the first 3 rounds in terms of their thought process.
Yeah, that was Eric DaCosta. And I was kind of surprised, Steve, when he said that. He said, in this draft, there are 7 to 8 running backs who he thinks will go in the first 3 rounds and who he thinks will be projected to plug in play at the NFL level. That's a very high number, and it's something that I think a lot of people are overlooking in this draft. But, you know, I only have 5 blue chippers in this draft. You know, guys who I think you can plug in and play literally from day one. And one of them is Jonathan Taylor of Wisconsin. And I know you've yeah. watched him.
Yep.
You probably called a couple of his games.
You've
seen him play. He, as Greg Cosell said in our show, he reminds a lot of people of Ezekiel Elliott, which is pretty high praise.
Yeah. And I'll say this. He became... This is where playing the extra year helped him. He became a better receiver, Sal, out of the backfield. That's where I think he improved his stock. The only question I have about... The only... A question and a half. One is how much tread was knocked off the tires by all the carries.
Yeah.
But the other one is...
Sure.
Yep. Just to be fair to him. And the other part is early in his career, especially the first couple of years, he fumbled a lot.
Interesting. I wasn't aware of that, but thank you for pointing that out. I'll definitely check that out.
Yeah.
To me right now, the other thing that I'm hearing, Steve, and I'm hearing this on SportsCenter tonight. I'll give you a little bit of a preview.
Okay, good.
We were just putting it together, is that a lot of NFL coaches and general managers are looking at this draft, and the reality of COVID-19 is beginning to sink in for a lot of them. I had 3 team executives and 1 coach tell me in the last 36 hours, there's a lot of chatter around the league about making sure you have the proper, quote, roster construction, because no one knows how abbreviated the offseason will be.
Right.
In fact, 1 team executive said to me, quote, if Roger Goodell all of a sudden flips the light switch on, you have to be ready to go, so you better draft players with that in mind. You've got holes to fill? Fill them. And so you got to get plugged. You know, I say this all the time, and, you know, it's a shorthand way of saying it, and I don't mean to be pejorative about players, because I really think the world of these college players, you know, they work so hard for their entire careers, and they just work so hard for this moment to get drafted. But this is a time more than ever where you need plug-in players. You need players who can come out of college, put on the professional uniform, and play. Miles Sanders was one of those guys last
year. Yes. Yep.
I don't know if you remember the show last year, but I stood there with Matt Bowen. We were at NFL Films. We were in the studio. We were at the big board. And he broke down Miles Sanders, and I said to him, you know, I can basically give you the car ride right now from Penn State to Novacare if you want. We can go through all the stops. I can tell you how easy it'll be for him to get from Harrisburg to South Philadelphia. And he turned out to be a great pick for the Eagles because he was really plug-in and play. They hardly had to coach him at all. He's so smart. Miles Sanders is so tough. He really... loves football. He can do so many things. He's so versatile. He's such a typical Penn State athlete. He's such a typical Penn State student. You know, people who are adaptable and coachable and want to get on with life, and let's do this. So I see a lot of that in Taylor.
Yep.
I see a lot of that in Chase Young, who you obviously know very well.
Yep.
I see a lot of that in Okuda. Simmons, and then the last guy I see it in is the defensive tackle out of Auburn, Derrick Brown.
Yeah. Yep.
Now, if you noticed, I didn't mention any of the offensive tackles, wide receivers, or quarterbacks.
Quarterbacks, right, exactly. No, these are guys you're talking about that can step in now and play. See, and I'll throw a name out to you that I think can step in and contribute and maybe be ready right out of the gate. Clyde Edwards-Helaire out of LSU because of what he can do in the passing game.
Yeah. No, I would put him in that group. That goes back to this. There's going to be a run on running backs.
Yes.
You watch. Because what's the one thing you can do in the National Football League right out of the gate if you have an athlete? You can run the football.
Yeah.
Doesn't take a whole lot of chemistry or timing to run the football.
Here's the other part that, as an addendum to what you said about nobody knows when they're going to start. Two things. Number one, I think some people forget that with all these great players we're talking about, they're all from different socioeconomic backgrounds. They may not have all the equipment at home or close to them during a time when things have been shut down. And I think that has to be taken into account with some of these guys as to what their background is or what they can and can't do during this time. And the other part is, I think in talking to James Franklin, he kind of feels that with Penn State, if they could get going, you know, like get ready but then have a normal training camp, like 6 weeks from opening day where they could have like a transition time, that's how long he thinks it'll take for on a college level to get ramped up.
When is opening day supposed to be at Penn State? First game of the year? What date on the calendar?
September 5. So if we back it up to 6 weeks, which would be 2 weeks before training camp, it'd be about 3 months from today.
What do you think? Do you think that happens?
Oh, boy. I'm trying to figure out what's happening in 3 weeks.
You know, 3 days, exactly.
Yeah. So
yeah.
I'm almost trying to stay out of that.
Yeah, just, I know. We're not supposed. It's hard to be in the prediction business these days. It is.
Yeah.
I know. There's so many different indicators, and things can change so quickly. And so many people are saying things about second waves and, you know, how much testing has to be done to get people back on campus or back in school or back to work or back into the stands to watch games.
Right. So to me, it's a step at a time, and we're just in this step right now. That's really how I've looked at it.
That is totally it. Let's talk next week and break down team by team, whoever you want to do it. We'll do it rapid fire. Have your producer pick five teams or however many you want to do.
Perfect.
Shoot, we can do all 32 if you want. But I'm hearing right now, two things. The one thing that I just said to you, that teams are right now saying, oh boy, what are we getting? You know, they're hearing Roger Goodell on Get Up this morning. They're hearing comments from different coaches and different politicians, and they're like, okay, you know what? We can't fool around here. We better be able to say to our team in 3 weeks, we got to go. Let's go. The light switch is on. Let's play football. Do we have 22 guys who can line up and play? If you look at the Eagles right now, in my view, I think they have two major needs on this football team. Major needs. I think one is middle linebacker. They can't, right now, they don't have a middle linebacker on the roster, Steve.
Right.
They don't have one.
Right.
And that's why I've been pushing the name Kenneth Murray out of Oklahoma at 21.
Good name.
Put on the uniform and he can play right now. He's got instincts and he's got speed and he's got a wanna in his blood. And I am just not very high at all on Andre Dillard. I don't see Andre Dillard as a starting left tackle for Carson Wentz in the NFC East, in the National Football League. Let me get a number for you that I had one of my colleagues at ESPN Stats and Information look up before I was going to come on. I wanted to make sure I had this number right about Dillard, which is pretty shocking. Yeah, I found it. Hold on 3 seconds.
Yep, no problem.
Yep. Andre Dillard had a position-worst 13% blown block rate last year in his rookie season, according to Sports Info Solutions, which is tracked by ESPN Stats Information. 13% blown block rate, which is the position worst in the National Football League.
Yeah.
And this is a guy that they went up to get in the first round.
Yeah.
And he's supposed to replace a Hall of Famer, Jason Peters. So, you know, don't be surprised that the Eagles go linebacker, go offensive line depth. And if I were them, obviously wide receiver. But if you got to have plug-it-and-play players because you don't know when Roger Goodell is going to say, let's go, that's what the Eagles need. But the other problem is, though, you know the old adage, you've been around, if you draft based on need, you'll soon need another job, right?
That's exactly right. What happens is you have a need, and you can talk your
talk yourself into
a guy
who is good enough to fill it, right?
Yeah, you can talk yourself into a guy, and it's not the right guy. You
but in this
that.
Case, you may have to suspend that rule.
Yes,
because we're in an unclear environment.
Exactly. So we will talk next week. This flies by for me. I could talk to you for 2 hours. You couldn't, but
yeah.
I could. So, but thank you so much. We appreciate you more than you know, Sal. You're awesome.
Well, thanks for watching the matchup show. Check my stuff out at SalPal ESPN on Instagram. Promote it. Have all your listeners. I'll be giving you updates on the Eagles and all the other teams on SalPal ESPN because, you know, on the air these days, real estate has been shrunk down. It's limited. And we're all trying to make contributions. And that's one place where I'll be constantly giving people updates is on my Instagram. And have your producer next week, you know, a couple of days in advance, give me five teams you want to bang through machine gun style next Wednesday at this time.
This will be awesome. Looking forward to it.
Okay,
Sal, thank
Steve,
you.
Thanks a lot.
Thanks, my friend.
All right, bye-bye.
Sal Palantonio. I sense, Matt, you enjoyed that.
Yeah, that was. I'm always speechless when he comes on. And as you said with the matchup show, I just feel smarter on all ends of this. Information and news, analysis, X's and O's. He's one of the guys that's so rare that you can do it all. And he is also the definition of preparation.
Well, that's why I talked about, and I prefaced it, that to me the best analysts are the ones that when the game is over, you feel like you learn more about the game. The show he does with Matt Bowen and Greg Cosell, when the show is over with, you feel like you know exponentially more than when the half hour began. That, to me, is the ultimate compliment to what they do, and he's right. You can't do the same homogenized show like everybody else. And, geez, I mean, I'd love to bring him into my classroom and have him tell my students that.
As a former quote-unquote student of his at the PA, at the play-by-play sports camps, I would definitely do that. I would definitely recommend it.
In a heartbeat. I mean, when we get back to live teaching in the classroom, I'd love to have him on Zoom come in.
Taking your calls at 800-795-9565. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motor Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Did you enjoy the last half hour, Matt?
Oh, every bit of it. I can listen to that for hours and hours, over and over.
Easily. Now, the other part is then Taylor Stubblefield. I thought it was great insight on how he looks at the wide receiver room, Penn State. What an hour we've had. I think we've been saying that a lot lately. What an hour we've had, which has been terrific. In a few moments, Matthew Lennox from InsideTheStart.com. Today's show brought to you by Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. Remember that online sales are now open. Check out the great product lines online and also the great deals online at Sunbury Motors. And don't forget the Sunbury Motors Service Department open from 7 a.m. to 4 p.m. Monday through Friday. We're going to hear from Matthew Lennox from InsideTheStar.com in a moment, and then we'll take a break. And then I'm going to give you that funny story from the Taylor Stubblefield game between Penn State and Purdue back in 2000 in the last part of the show. But first, Matthew Lennox, InsideTheStar.com. Welcome to the show, Matthew. Great to have you with us. All right, let's start. Boy, Yetur Gross-Matos, the name is coming up a lot. Is he coming up with some of the conversations you're having with people when they discuss the Cowboys?
Yes, he is, and it didn't start just recently. Gross-Matos met with the Cowboys at the NFL Scouting Combine in February, and on top of also just recently having a Zoom call with him with owner Jerry Jones, Mike McCarthy, the new head coach, and the defensive line coach, Jim Tomsula. So the interest has been going on for a while, and it seems like, you know, he's definitely in the running, you know, a candidate for being a pick in the first round, and the Cowboys trading back and maybe getting some more picks from him.
Interesting. Now, the Cowboys' defensive end situation, I know Randy Gregory has applied for reinstatement, but that's not going to be a sure thing. So how do you view the Cowboys' edge rush situation? You can't have enough of them to begin with, but how do you view their edge rush situation?
Well, they have their guy on the left side in DeMarcus Lawrence.
No question. No doubt.
But the glaring need for the Cowboys on the front seven is right defensive end. And that's the spot that Randy Gregory would play and also Alden Smith. And those two are both waiting to be reinstated. And I don't see any reason why they both won't. But you don't have a secure starter on the right side. That's why Gross-Matos is such a interesting prospect, because he could add to that, you know, give you a three-man rotation on the right side to go with DeMarcus Lawrence. You know, you can get just a little bit of what Alden Smith was, maybe 70%, and Randy Gregory, who I think is going to surprise a lot of people. You can have, you know, both sides of your perimeter secure. You've already secured the inside in free agency with Jerry McCoy and Dontari Poe. Those are going to be your starters on the interior, so If you can lock up that right side, you know, the Cowboys would be really, really, really set in the trenches going into next year.
So the Cowboys draft right now at 17. Is it the thought process that they could actually trade down but still get a guy like Yetur?
Yes.
Okay. And get multiple picks for it. So now let's get to the other part. What is the status? What status, if any, is there on Dak Prescott?
Well, they've had, you know, some talks recently in the last few weeks. They've been very, very positive from what I've been told. But they've been in communication, you know, all along. You know, I think, you know, all the contract talk is really overblown. Both sides want to get it done. The Cowboys are all in on Dak Prescott. Everybody in the building wants Dak Prescott there. He wants to be there long term. It's just, you know, the length of the contract is the only thing that's really holding up right now. Dak wants 4 years. They want 5 or 6, but, you know, they're not going to let him out of the building. You don't let a guy coming off a career year that spread the ball around the way he did, almost 5,000 yards, had 2 1,100-yard receivers, you know, 30 touchdowns. You don't let that guy out of the building. So Dak Prescott's not going anywhere. And when 2020 kicks off, he'll be starting quarterback for the Dallas Cowboys.
Interesting. I've seen a couple of other mock drafts. A couple of them have had Xavier McKinney, the safety from Alabama, being interested by Dallas as well. Have you heard some of that?
Yes, he's also a player of interest. They definitely have him high on the board. Safety is another area of need. You know, the Cowboys got Ha-Ha Clinton-Dix in free agency, but that's only a one-year deal, so, you know, that's not, you know, Edge of Stone, that he'll be back. You know, he could perform well, and they could re-sign him. But, you know, you don't have a secure guy at the strong safety spot. You have your free safety in Xavier Woods, but safety is definitely another area of need for the Cowboys, and I think they'll address that within the first couple rounds.
All right, I want to ask you about a couple other guys with Penn State ties. Let's start with Connor McGovern. Travis Frederick announced his retirement at the age of 29. With everything he's gone through, completely understand it. Is there hope in the Cowboys organization that up front Connor McGovern becomes part of the solution?
Yes, there's definitely hope that, you know, he can come back and be a part of that. You know, they also have Joe Looney, who has already played center for the Cowboys, and he was very respectable. So, you know, center is also being talked about, you know, and rightfully so with the Cowboys. With the loss of Travis Frederick, there's been talk of Ruiz from Michigan, then possibly selecting him. But definitely, McGovern would definitely be in the talks for center, too.
And then Sean Lee re-signed and stayed with the team. Obviously, when he's been healthy, he's been terrific, but he hasn't always been healthy. What did you think of the Sean Lee re-signing by Dallas?
I loved it because, as you know, the third option of linebacker last year, he had almost 90 tackles. And if you look at the Giants game in the Meadowlands, if you look at the Eagles game when they were in Dallas, he was arguably the best player on the defense two straight weeks. And he was tied for the team lead in both those games in tackles, if I'm not believing. So when Leighton Vander Esch went down, you know, to have a guy like Sean Lee come in and still give you that kind of production is very big. You know, having him back, you know, again next year, added with Jalen Smith, you know, that's a very good guy to have because, you know, you never know with Leighton Vander Esch. You know, they don't know about his neck right now. There's concerns there. So
yeah,
to have a guy like Sean Lee, just in case, you know, something like that, you know, happens again, you have another Pro Bowl, you know, former Pro Bowl, All-Pro level guy that's still playing at a high level. You know, being in the league 10 years and still getting, you know, around 90 to 100 tackles just shows how good he still is, even though, you know, he's had some injuries in the past.
You know, it's interesting because, Matthew, we always talk about how quarterbacks can have the ability to beat you with their mind. To me, Sean Lee has always been one of those guys. And obviously, look, I was around him for years here. I've always felt he's one of the defensive guys out there. And there aren't that many, but that could beat you with his mind. And I always felt Sean Lee was like that.
Yeah, Sean Lee, you know, is one of those guys. You know, Kingsley was, you know, he just retired, obviously.
Yeah.
Bobby Wagner.
Yep.
You know, those were the three premier guys. You know, when Sean Lee was healthy, you know, himself, Luke Kuechly, and Bobby Wagner were the three best linebackers in the NFL, period.
Yeah. No, I have to ask you, what do you think Mike McCarthy is going to bring to the table? I mean, this is the first change they made in a long, long time. What do you think he can bring?
Well, for one, he brings a pedigree of winning. You know, just 13 years in Green Bay, speak for himself. You know, he won a Super Bowl there. He was there for the prime year with Aaron Rodgers. His teams were perennially in the playoffs. You know, he played in, you know, he got into four NFC Championship games. He's an alpha dog type of coach. He's going to do things his way. You know, as soon as he came in, you see he had his staff put together very, very quickly. So the Cowboys have a lot of trust in him. They're letting him do things his way. And Mike McCarthy, I think, really is the addition to the Cowboys, you know, even more so in some ways than the actual players, is a very big addition for the Cowboys. I really think he's going to have them in the playoffs next year.
I have to ask you, what's it like covering the Cowboys?
Well, it's never a dull moment. I will tell you that. There's not really a lot of time to, you know, have your phone on silent and have your notifications off and things like that. The Cowboys is a, you know, I don't even call it 24/7. It's 25/8/366. It never stops. You know, and you know, I don't mind it because I love what I do.
Oh yeah,
but you know, you definitely have to be on your toes when it comes to the Cowboys because when free agency started, I mean, I literally did not have a break. I mean, I was writing articles when I was at my regular job, so it's definitely you definitely won't go without being entertained covering the Cowboys.
It's unbelievable, and not only that, and let me ask you this one: is there anything that they've done in your coverage of them over the years that even surprised you about the Cowboys?
No, because I've been a fan of them for almost 30 years.
Yeah.
Throughout the entire Jerry Jones era of the Cowboys. I mean, I first started watching him in 1992.
Right.
So we're talking right when the Triplett era and all that really started dominating the league. So I've seen it all. Nothing surprises me. Nothing I hear surprises me. The rumors don't surprise me. Anything Jerry Jones says doesn't surprise me. I expect it. If I didn't hear noise about them, I would get worried.
Yeah. You know what? You just gave the answer I expected. I expect you to say, no, nothing about this group surprises me. Matthew, what a pleasure. Thanks so much. It was great to have you on the show today. Really appreciate your perspective and insight.
Oh, thank you very much, and I look forward to doing it again, Steve.
We look forward to having you back, too, Matthew. Matthew Lennox from InsideTheStar.com. Why do I sense that after you enjoyed the Taylor Stubblefield segment so much, and that you just thought the Sal Palantonio segment was awesome, that you weren't enamored with that segment? Why do I sense that?
And it's not that I'm not enamored. I just laugh because of basically the last point that Matthew just made of the decision-making of the Dallas Cowboys. All I do is just laugh at him.
Do you want your son?
In fact, you know what I did today? The first thing we did today, Steve, is I had the Eagles social media had the highlights of Eagles Cowboys when the Eagles beat them 17-9 to eventually win the NFC East. We started our day watching that today. But I used nice words. I said, we think the Cowboys are stinky.
See, now I don't want your child to grow up like that fan before the 1980 NFC Championship game, which, by the way, the Eagles won with Wilbert Montgomery.
That's right.
We want you, Dallas. We hate you. You're a DeVette. Do you want your kid to be that guy?
No, and Lisa won't either.
See, that's why I got to give you credit. You married pure class. All right, we'll come back with more in a moment, brought to you by Sunbury Motors on News Radio 1070 WKOK. When it comes to car buying, there's the other guy's way, and then there's the SMC way. The other guys force you into a vehicle you really don't want. The Sunbury Motors way lets you take the time you need to browse, ask questions, and take the test drive and think on it. For over 100 years, the Mertz family and all their employees have made your experience the most pleasant one you'll ever have. The other guys won't offer you the best price for your trade, no matter how much they say they will. The SMC way is their promise to provide you with the most money the market shows your vehicle is worth. The SMC way is to offer you all applicable factory rebates on new vehicles and generous discounts. Looking for a pre-owned vehicle? The SMC way checks each vehicle in a 200-mile radius to determine the lowest price, then beat it. It's the lowest price promise, just part of the SMC way. The choice is up to you. The other guy's way or the SMC way? The SMC way wins every time. Sunbury Motors Company in the North 4th Street Auto Plaza, Sunbury, and at sunburymotors.com. Selling more cars and satisfying more customers for over 100 years. Yep, we go back in time.
Thanks for taking a few minutes to check this out.
To your guy. Okay, and your guy, all right, is this is what I'm afraid of when it comes to your kid. Okay, is that he'll end up saying stuff like this along the way. I mean, I'm worried about it, you know, whether it's booing Santa Claus or anything like that. See, I get concerned about this. Now, Lisa will be the perfect balance.
Right? No question about that.
She'll be the perfect balance in all of this. Okay? And obviously, there are a lot of fans that, you know, that don't like the Cowboys, including former Gov, Ed Rendell. Okay? He would be in there. Buddy Ryan didn't like him. You guys didn't like the America's Team thing. Really bothered you. The America's Team thing bothered you a lot. And I just, And then there's that great Eagles fan before the NFC Championship game, which the Eagles with Wilbur Montgomery and those guys won. They won. You know, where he gets up there and he says it. We want you, Dallas. Okay? All right, here's the funny story from the game that Taylor Stubblefield played in at Beaver Stadium. Okay. So, Penn State is getting ready for the game. And remember, they had moved Tekus Pettigrew from wide receiver to safety. So now they're going to run the two-minute drill on offense on the offensive practice field, and the defense is on the defensive practice field going through Purdue's two-minute deal. And Joe's over in the offensive practice field. And he had the innate ability to look over at just the right or, in some cases, the wrong time. So Zach Wasserman is playing Drew Brees.
Okay.
And in doing it, he throws a ball over the middle, and Pettigrew comes over and plays it perfectly. Perfectly. And the ball hits him in the chest and falls to the ground. Now, Joe had been watching the two-minute drill for offense. Of course, what does he do, Matt, at just the right moment? Looks to his left. I was standing in between the two fields. Looks to his left, and Pettigrew drops it. That's the ball game! Pettigrew! Catch the darn ball! Go right. Well, now we get to the game. Penn State's up 22-20. Brees and company backed up. They're inside their 20. I think they're, geez, I don't know, I'd say like 10, 15-yard line. They're inside their 20. And not only is Taylor one of the receivers, Taylor Stubblefield, but they have a really terrific college player named Vinny Sutherland as a wideout who had a good game. And Brees goes back, I don't know, I want to say it was on second or third down, and throws the deep ball over the middle, the exact same play as practice, and Pettigrew cuts in front of it and plays it perfectly, and it hits him right in the chest, and it falls to the ground.
Oh, no.
Okay? And Jack says, I can't believe he didn't catch it. And I looked over. This is on the broadcast. I can't. He did it on Thursday.
Oh, man. So then what did Joe Boss say?
Well, I don't know. I think I could almost hear him up in the booth from the sideline. Pettigrew, catch the time ball. That's the ball game.
Not bad.
Oh, believe me, I was around it forever. So, okay. So you talk about stuff you practice. I mean, that was out of that game. Now, Penn State hung on and won the game. But I couldn't believe it. He had just done the exact same thing on the exact same pattern on Thursday. Couldn't believe it. I couldn't believe it. You know? That was...
Dallas, we hate you!
This is your guy. This is your guy right here.
Dallas! Dallas, we hate you!
Okay? This is what we need to avoid with your kid. I want your kid to be a positive force in life. In fact, you need to work overtime so that Lisa is around him more.
At least he'll take care of it either way.